qui etiam proprio filio suo non pepercit, sed pro nobis omnibus tradidit illum, quo modo non etiam cum illo omnia nobis donavit. He that spared not even his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how hath he not also with him given us all things? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the road to Bethlehem were to be found many descendants of David. Cyrenus, the governor of Syria, was obeying an order from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled in the census. Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary would have to return to their ancestral city to be so enrolled. During their long journey of 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, what thoughts must have plagued the purest heart of Joseph as he led the pregnant Blessed Virgin, the living tabernacle of the divinity, to the city of David? On this third day of our preparatory novena for the great feast of our patriarch and patron, Saint Joseph, we pause to contemplate the second sorrow and the second joy of our dear saint. The poverty of Jesus' birth is the sorrow that will fade before the nativity of our blessed Savior. But still, what trepidation must have filled the virginal heart of our saint as Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary arrived in Bethlehem, only to see that lodging after lodging was already full with the many travelers come to David's city to be enrolled just like them. Let us pause to remember that we are not making wild guesses at the affections of the purest heart of Joseph during these blessed days of our novena. Let us recall that our contemplation of the virtues of Saint Joseph in general and of his joys and sorrows in particular is not founded on mere speculation. There is very much that can be gleaned and inferred from what we know with certainty about our saint, both from what the sacred texts reveal to us and what the pious use of reason deduces from the same. The Holy Ghost himself reveals to us through the pen of the evangelist Saint Matthew that Joseph is a just man. Saint John Chrysostom, commenting on this phrase, a phrase that is as short as it is rich with blessed meaning, says, quote, "Here, just man means adorned with every virtue, for it pertains to justice not to be avaricious, and justice is the universal virtue." Furthermore, with the help of Saint Thomas Aquinas, we can reason, as Father Francis Philus does, concerning the eminent degree to which Joseph's universal virtue attains. In other words, Joseph not only possesses every virtue, but each of them to an excellent degree. Father Philus explains why, quoting St. Thomas, he says that, quote, "Those whom God chooses for an office, he prepares and disposes in such a way that they become suited to it. Furthermore, to the degree that something approaches its source, by so much does it participate in the effect of that source," end quote. Therefore, dear friends, as we return to our blessed scene moments before the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the purest heart of Saint Joseph is surely said to be a heart filled with a holiness that can only be surpassed by the blessed hearts entrusted to its care. He is, as St. John Chrysostom said, adorned with every virtue, and by his calling as foster father to the Son of God and spouse to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and by his proximity to the source of all divine grace in the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, St. Joseph's virtue as a father and as a husband is unparalleled. If we know what virtues adorned Joseph's heart, we can reasonably suppose his resulting thoughts. What father and husband would not wish to provide the very best for his wife and child. Joseph, the best of fathers, was therefore sorely grieved not only that he could not provide a fitting lodging for the Virgin Mother of the Messiah and the Christ child about to be born, but he was all the more saddened that indeed he could find no lodging at all. However, as with each of Joseph's sorrows, his perfect virtue and the favors of Almighty God prevent him from dwelling on sorrow alone, as we ourselves so often do. Perfectly resigned to the divine will and prompt to obey it, as we will see especially in his other joys and sorrows, Saint Joseph does not become despondent, but with an unshakable confidence in God, he seeks out what is possible and settles upon a manger enclosed by what little shelter is available to them. In this cold, dark corner of the world, the city of David, Bethlehem, becomes the true house of bread, as its name indicates. Jesus Christ, the bread of life, is born. The faith of Mary and Joseph is perfect, as we can surmise from the theological reasoning that we have already seen. Therefore, in the instant of the miraculous birth, the sadness of the material poverty of this makeshift lodging fades as faith fills their holy hearts with invincible joy. It is not in the palaces of Rome or the marble mansions of Athens, not in the splendor of Alexandria or Persia in the east. It is in this dark corner of a Roman province, forgotten by its conquerors, that the conqueror of death is born. God the Father spared not even his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How hath he not also with him given us all things? It is with the sentiments of this phrase of St. Paul that the purest heart of Joseph is filled as he gazes upon the infant God made man. No glimmer of gold could match the wealth of the smile that emanates from the tiny face of the God-child. With his divine conception, Jesus has had the use of reason. From that very moment, and in this blessed moment, our loving adoration can only imagine what acts of charity are exchanged between these three hearts. But it is clear that the whole of the world, until this sacred moment, has never known a house so rich as the poor roof that sheltered these three holy hearts in the moment when they first exchanged loving glances at one another. Joseph's faith knows no one can truly be poor who possesses the Lord of all. By his eminent virtue, Joseph possessed already this spirit of poverty. That spirit is none other than the consequence of a strong faith in our blessed Lord. No matter how materially poor we may be, our hearts themselves may be saddled with the false riches of this world if we allow them to be encumbered by worldly cares, with avarice, and also with the anxiety of worldly success in all its forms. All material possessions belong ultimately to our Lord, and he entrusts them to us for the use of his glory and the betterment of our neighbor. Yet there is no greater treasure that he extends to us than the gift of his divine Son, for with him he has truly given us every wealth and heavenly blessing for which we could possibly hope. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit possess the kingdom, for their hearts are ready for our divine conqueror. Soon the infant king will shed his first drops of blood as the long sacrifice of his blessed life continues. He is anxious to fill our hearts with the graces of his most precious blood, but so often there is no room for God in our hearts. We have filled the halls of our hearts with our plans, our worldly cares, our resentments, our anger, our pleasures, our lust, our gluttony, our drunkenness. How can the love of Jesus fill a heart that is already full of itself? Blessed indeed are the poor in spirit, like our great patriarch, for theirs is the kingdom of the Sacred Heart. The moment of the Savior's birth was prophesied to the first patriarch Joseph when Jacob blessed him, saying, The blessings of thy father are strengthened with the blessings of his fathers, until the desire of the everlasting hills should come. May they be upon the head of Joseph and upon the crown of the Nazarite among his brethren. Hear, the holy infant in swaddling clothes is come. As we pray in his litany, here is the Sacred Heart, the desire of the everlasting hills. Let us empty our hearts with Joseph and Mary, so that we may merit to reap the joy of our Savior's birth, the joy that makes us boast that our one true possession, like Joseph and Mary, is the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.